Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us from today's gospel lesson, the first chapter of Mark, where again in the 14th verse, it reads, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Friends in Christ, an advertising slogan from the past proclaimed, "You never get a second chance to make a first impression." And I suppose that is true. The first comes first. We put a lot of stock in first impressions. A business manager once told me, "I know about 10 seconds into an interview if someone is right for our company." I was amazed at that. So, in Mark chapter 1, Jesus appears. This is his chance to make a first impression. And the first words out of his mouth in this gospel are, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." What kind of impression do you think that made? What impression does it give you? In this statement, Jesus summarizes everything that he's about. He's consciously aligning himself with the message of the prophets, the most recent being John the Baptist, when he says, "Repent." To repent is to turn away from something, to do a 180-degree turn. And when you're doing a 180-degree turn, you're going towards something new, which in this case is believing in the gospel. Most churchgoers know that the word gospel means good news. It would be correct to say that it is news that brings joy. And this word packed a punch in the ancient world, but it was not usually a religious punch. It meant history-making news. One example, when Greece was invaded by Persia and the Greeks won the great battles of Marathon and Solonus, they sent heralds running to proclaim news that brought joy. "We fought for you, we have won, and you are no longer slaves. You're free." A gospel is a retelling of something that has happened in history. Something that has a direct impact on your life. This is one of the distinguishing marks of the Christian faith. Other religions and worldviews say, "Here is what you have to do to connect with God." Or simply, "Here is what you have to do in order to be thought of as a good person." But the gospel of Jesus says, "Here is what has been done in history. This is what Jesus did to earn a way to God for you." Like the heralds of Greece, this is the message. Jesus has fought for you. He has won. And now you are no longer slaves to sin. You're free. As far as first impressions go, how would you rate this? But let's back up for a second. Before Jesus talks about repentance and joyful news, he says, "The kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus spent a huge amount of his teaching ministry exploring the concept of the kingdom of God. And here in Mark chapter 1, right out of the gate, he says, the kingdom is here now. How can he say that? Why does he say that? In the first two chapters of Genesis, we see that human beings were created to live in a world in which all relationships were whole, were perfect, because God was king. All other relationships were right because that relationship was right. The third chapter of Genesis tells the next part, that we have each chosen to be our own king. We have gone the way of putting ourselves on the throne of our lives. And this sort of self-rule destroys us. There's nothing that makes you feel more miserable than self-absorption, a constant concern with, how am I feeling? How am I doing? How are people treating me? Am I proving myself? Am I succeeding? Am I failing? When we decide to be our own king, everything falls apart. Socially, psychologically, spiritually. But we all long to be brought back in. This longing is deeply embedded in us. It is even deeply embedded in the legends of many cultures. And though the details change, the themes are the same. A true king will come back and slay the dragon. The true king will come back, kiss us, and wake us up from death. The true king will come back, rescue us from the villain, and lead us back to the dance. The true king will return and put everything right. The joyful news of the kingdom of God is this: Jesus is that true king. And you know, when you're living under the kingdom of and the kingship of Jesus, because everything is different. He rules in the most unusual ways imaginable. Instead of sending out armies to battle evil, he does it himself. And he won. This king gives special honor to the poor, the lonely, the sick, the outcast, and makes sure they are truly helped. This king exercises leadership by serving. He leads by doing the thankless tasks. Even the jobs of a household servant are not below him. This king gives full access to all of his subjects, and instead of calling them subjects, he calls them family. And this king, King Jesus, displays power not by exacting revenge, but by showing mercy, even though it cost him dearly. The kingdom of God came into the world when Jesus came into the world, and the kingdom of God is still in the world. Where is it? It is wherever the joyful news of the King is proclaimed. Repent and believe in the gospel. Where is the kingdom? It is wherever people are different and unusual in the way that Jesus was different and unusual. Our world is in critical need of us to be that difference. It is starved for unusual, grace-filled people. The time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you send your Son into the world in today's gospel, and the first words from his mouth announce the arrival of the kingdom of God, a place characterized by people turning from their sin and receiving your forgiveness. That kingdom is alive today, wherever Jesus is proclaimed, wherever people who have had their lives changed by Jesus serve in his name and in his manner. That means, of course, that the kingdom of God is here and everywhere, that people gather around your word. Send us out into this world, Lord, to bring that kingdom to bear. It is the only hope this world has. In your name we pray. Amen.